All right, so what I thought we'd do this time, a little bit different than last time, is instead of just kind of saying, how's it going, that we would actually kind of go through the things that people have emailed in. And we have a few nuts and bolts things and also just some kind of process things to look at. And then once we get through all those, if there's still time left, then we'll see what other things people want to bring to the call. Does that seem right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Jen, are you listening in? Okay, no.
Did you see Jen, Dave?
Yeah, Jen the monk. Oh, there she is. Okay. All right. Here she is right here. Okay, first little item of business is the Reflective Listening Buddies program needs somebody who wouldn't mind having another buddy. Is there anybody like that out there who wants to get a little extra reflective listening practice?
This is Karen A. I wouldn't mind.
Wow, cool. Thanks, Karen.
Okay.
Let's see. I'll have to... Actually, Mickey, could that go in the call notes? Then that way Rebecca would get that information.
Yep.
Super. Thanks. Okay, we need some assistance with transcribing. Mickey, do you want to explain the situation we're in?
Yeah, there's a few people who have not quite gotten to all their transcribing, and then a couple others who couldn't actually make out much of it, and we might want to have somebody take on some of that. In particular, I think we might be looking for somebody to do CD number 5B and numbers 13 and 14. And I don't know if there's any of the others out there that are still working, if they would like some assistance. They haven't said so, but they might.
Okay. Yeah, I know it's been a really big job. Anybody out there willing to do some more transcribing?
This is Tony. I would be willing to do one of them.
Okay.
Great, Tony.
Thanks a lot, Tony. That's really generous.
This is Jen. I would like you too. I'm going to be out of town for a little bit, and I don't know if you have a timeline that you want that done by.
Well, let's see. How long are you going to be out of town?
Probably at the end of August. Well, and then actually a little bit, so probably until like mid-September that I would be able to look at it, so I don't know if
I just realized where you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might not be the best candidate.
Okay.
Dave, I would be willing to do one. Penny.
Wow, bless your heart, Penny. Does that cover it, Mickey, or do we need more?
We could use one more.
This is Karen A. I wouldn't mind transcribing some.
Great.
Oh, was that? I'm sorry, I got distracted for a second, Mickey. Did somebody else volunteer?
Yep. Yep. I think
okay,
we're covered for now.
Janet A is here too, and she says she could be a backup person.
Okay.
After she leaves
great.
Them on.
Okay.
Right, good. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to tackle is donations. We have not talked about donations at all or made any kind of policy, and I think we need to start heading in that direction so that we can, you know, get a little financial return for all this investment we're putting into the program. So I'll just say a couple things that I've thought of just to get us started, and then maybe we kind of get the ball rolling a little bit, and we'll either get something really clear today or we'll sit with it over the week and get clear next time, or we'll see what happens. So I've seen a couple of different options. You know, the most conservative, well, I think it should be a part of the orientation for sure. And, you know, Mickey, I was thinking just a little while ago and as I was kind of getting ready for the call that, you know, we have these guidelines that we've done, and we have this write-up about the guidelines that Chris and Jan did for us. What we don't have yet is sort of like an orientation checklist for people who are doing orientations. And I think we might want to start kind of working on that as time goes by.
Okay.
Things that are not in the guidelines, but things we really want to cover. There's two like that in this little set of issues that I've got in front of me today. So one of them would be donations, if people agree, that we would, you know, explain to people that, you know, it takes a lot of resources, it's supported by the monastery, and so any donations people would be willing to make, we happily, you know, the person would say, you know, I'd love to take it and send it off to the monastery or whatever they want to say about that. So it seems like we want to do that. And then I thought of a couple other approaches on an ongoing basis. One is, you know, every group could have a donation basket, and in front of the basket could be a nice little write-up that we do that would explain about donations and why it's important to donate and all that. And it could be just in some really obvious place in the room, you know, that people see as they come and go. So that would be the most conservative kind of approach to it. In addition to that, or instead of that, or it probably would be in addition to that, we could also put as a, in a part of our format that people use every time to say something about donations, like at the end or something. So I wanted to kind of just say that as a place to start and see what people think would be appropriate.
All of that sounds good to me.
That was Ann? Okay, great. What other people think?
Yeah, Dave, this is Jan. I especially like that note on the basket. I think that's good for all of us.
So what do people think about, I guess this is really the question now I'm looking at, about having a slot in there where we say something about donations every week. Does that seem like a good idea? Does that seem like too much? What do people think about it?
This is Cameron. I think it's basically a good idea. You know, we tend to forget. We go and it's just kind of a, you know, you just sit down and I think it's good for new people, for one thing, and just as a reminder.
Okay, thanks for that input, Cameron. Do other people see it the same way or differently? Or
I agree.
Yeah,
this is
Ramita.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. It seems like all those different things, because I think it's a real easy thing for people to just kind of think it's free somehow and not donate.
Yeah, I think that's really easy.
Yeah, this is Cameron. There's a lot that goes on in the background that people would not even be aware of, and so there's not really any way to you know, really tell them all that, but I mean just to let them know that there's the monastery is supporting it and there's training that goes on and a lot of different things that would be nice to be supported.
You know, this is Alex. I'm having the experience over and over again that it really is a good thing to ask.
Mm-hmm. I was just thinking, too, that it's I think it's a good thing as this particular this group of us that are, you know, kind of in training to you know, take another step in our practice, kind of see it as our part of what we're doing to help support the monastery. I think it's good practice to practice asking.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, Mickey. I hadn't thought of that, but that is a really good point. Okay, so
this
it sounds
is
Lori.
Like,
okay,
can
go ahead, Lori.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking the same thing, that part of this is being able to directly say how important the monastery is to me, and that not only that I'm asking for donations, but that I'm remembering to contribute as well. And that somehow, because in our group, I mean, we have a basket, and there, it just isn't a whole lot said about it, and maybe periodically to say something, I'm thinking might be a good support.
Yeah, it sounds like where we're heading. Thanks, Lori.
Yeah.
Michael, did you have a comment?
Did you say Michael?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, this is really right on. And it's interesting that for people who are doing Transform Your Life, today's assignment is to ask for what you want just for the practice of asking, just to see what happens, not because you have an expectation that you will get what you ask for.
Ah, that's great. It's
so
amazing
that's interesting.
On how often that book is just completely paralleling what we're doing.
Yeah, yes. And I was thinking, too, you know, for established sitting groups like Palo Alto, I think it's helpful on an ongoing basis to figure out, you know, maybe a schedule to mention it monthly or every 2 weeks, or to move the donation basket, you know, in a way that keeps it fresh and as a reminder. And for me, it feels easier to ask, feeling how much I've been given from the monastery in terms of support in my facilitation practice.
Yeah, that's really great.
I agree with that.
Okay. Well, so it sounds like we've got kind of a consensus. Melissa, are there any strong objections out there? Okay. Maybe we could try to nail it down. What do we want to do? Do we want to have it be a part of just our little routine that we do each week? Michael just suggested maybe doing it a little less frequently, like than that, like once every 2 weeks, once a month. What would be best for all, do you think?
Dave, this is Ramita. I include a mention of donations gratefully accepted and sent to the Zen Monastery as I'm making announcements like the August 8th workshop. And I put the basket with that small font. I'd appreciate having a little bit more of a write-up to put, but I put that with the handouts for people who want to pick up the supporting practice handout and the guidelines handouts.
That seems like a really slick way to handle it. Do you do that every week?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's just a mention, which is all we need, especially if we've got a nice write-up by the basket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ramita, when in the work you do, what point system exactly?
I do it with as part of the announcements. So after the discussion's ended, and I'm making some announcements before we do our closing centering exercise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that seems right on. What do people think about that?
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, does it seem right?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Very interesting for me. Okay, good. So let me just pause, make sure we're all in agreement so we don't railroad anybody. Is there any other points of view about this?
Hey, Dave, this is David. I've got a question on this.
Okay.
So I haven't asked for donations yet, and I was wondering if I could get some feedback from others. I'm not sure if people are, when they're donating, are they giving cash or if they're writing out a check to the monastery. And my question is, if people are writing out a check or if people in the groups are writing checks as a donation, who would that be made out to?
I'm going to defer to the, okay, Zen Center is the word I'm getting here. I was thinking, I mean, I guess there would be two, maybe that would be the best option. The other option would be it could be made out to the person in the group and they could send a check periodically. But it seems like it might be better just to put it, just pop it in an envelope, like once every couple of weeks or something,
mm-hmm.
send it in. Does that seem right?
Because that way, if you do it the second way, then only the facilitator gets the tax deduction. But the first way, the person does.
Okay.
That's
and,
what I think.
And if the cash could be the same way, it could be... I mean, if it's cash, I guess, you could take the cash and then just write a check for the cash and put it in with the other checks.
Okay, so yeah, okay, so if there is checks involved, it's to Zen Center.
Yep, that's the word.
Dave, this is
okay,
Jenna.
Too, huh? I mean, as long as there's information on how to do it. No, you don't...
I don't know about that. I feel a little uneasy about people putting their credit information. I think I'm just having to go through that one.
I currently tell people the website to take your credit card, make it easy. And just to underline, to tell people if they want a tax deduction, they're essentially going to have to write a check. Because it wouldn't work for them to leave cash and then want a tax deduction because, again, the tax deduction in this case would go to David. If David collected the cash, and he wrote a check to us. That's how the records would read.
Or they could go online, and then they would get their tax deduction that way. Yep. Okay.
And then wouldn't it be helpful for our seeing how everything is working if they put a note in the comments field that it was for their key group or their sitting from their key group or their sitting group?
It might indeed. If we would have to probably create a way to track that, I imagine. Isn't that right, Jen? But that would.
If we're just saying. It would just be interesting to know, then being in the notes field would do it. If we're talking about, if you're talking about, like, making a whole tracking system, that's another thing.
No, I don't think we need that. I just realized how it could work. Okay, groovy. This is good. So I wonder if there's somebody who'd be willing to write us up a nice little blurb that we could send to people that they could use by their donation baskets.
This is Michael. I'm willing to write a draft.
All right, great. Thanks, Michael.
And who would I send that to?
Why don't you send it to the facilitation coordinator?
Okay, I'll do that.
And, David, it's Deanna. Can I ask or bring up a topic about that? I wonder if we should put any direction about amount, you know, like if we – I know that in some of the literature it says, you know, sometimes X amount of money feels right and other times Y amount of money feels right. I don't know whether to – put any of that out there because I wonder what people are going to think, you know, what is the right amount for coming on a weekly basis, you know?
See, that we've got a really nice little write-up that explains that, you know, kind of finding the middle way with money, which I think is helpful just in terms of practice and also just in terms of making that decision about the money. What
mm-hmm.
other people, that seem appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
It's,
I was hoping for a more convenient location, like on a computer.
I bet we have it somewhere. Yeah, I bet you anything we do. You know what, Michael, how about a... Yeah, guest information? Yeah, okay. Michael, how about the... I'll track finding the middle wave with money thing.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Creating it anew, one or the other. And then maybe you could take responsibility for the basic write-up, knowing that that would be a piece of it, and then just kind of indicate where it might go. And then we can, you know, do our little thing where we send it out to everybody and get input and everything until we've got a document we all feel good about.
Okay, great.
All right, that was good. I feel complete on that topic. Do other people?
Mm-hmm.
Ready to move on?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, next issue.
This is Ramita.
Ramita.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm experiencing technical difficulties on this call. There's a lot of fading in and out. Don't know if anyone else is. I just wanted to make that note.
I am too. This is Ann.
Ah, other people?
Periodically,
yeah.
Yeah,
I am too.
Sometimes.
Can people hear me clearly right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
People hear me clearly right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Softer.
Not as well.
A little less.
Softer.
Might be a matter of the phone, so we'll play with it.
Okay. If it becomes really difficult, say something more, and not that there's anything particularly we can do, but we can at least sympathize. Okay. So the next issue, Karen A. This is a little bit of an old one, Karen. It's about, sort of how to think about, you were saying that you're doing a key group and not a sitting group, and you're not representing the monastery, but it's a little confusing because the flyers say this is being offered on behalf of the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and, you were saying if there was someone who were to ask you about this, is it correct that you would just say, I'm not an official sitting group, but learning how to facilitate with support from the monastery? And that seems to me like that covers it, but I wanted to check with other people to see if that seems right. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of nods here.
It's essentially that, if someone were to ask, it's that the monastery is supporting me in becoming, I've been really interested, I've been practicing for a long time myself, and the monastery is supporting me in learning how to practice. I'm fairly new at it, so I'm not, an official kind of person who's out there facilitating yet, but the flyer says that because that's, in a way, you could say that's the school where I'm learning to facilitate.
That's
really
helpful.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Okay. Let's see. From Janet, to review how we're ending the key groups. Just a little fine-tuning there. Do we do the group bow seated? Let's see. Or I think the question basically, help me out, Janet, if this is not right, is are we standing up and bowing formally and leaving formally from the room for the key group? Have I got that right? Janet thinks she couldn't remember. I'm not sure either. Does anybody remember exactly what we decided?
This is Ramita, Dave. What I recall is that we would use a group bow, standing in a group bow, which is what we're doing in my group, and then not leaving formally, but leaving in silence after the group bow.
Dave, this is Lynette. That's the same thing I've been doing. That's kind of where I thought we left it.
Okay, and I got confirmation from a couple of monks here, too. All right, that seems right. That's a good question. Lynette asks, is it working?
Seems
yeah.
to be working really nice, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, super. All right, let's see. This is from Jen Y, who is on the call. Jen, you had asked if I understand this correctly, a person in your group had asked, is it appropriate to talk about what came up during the centering exercise or only in the context of the reading? Have I got
yeah.
that right?
Yeah, exactly, yep.
Okay, who would have an answer to that?
Well, just off the cuff, I would say, it seems very appropriate to talk about kind of whatever comes up in the evening. And if we just wanted to really keep people trained. I mean, the only danger in it, of course, is that then we're training our group to, like, we read a topic, but, yeah, then we just go on and talk about whatever we darn well please. But so if we didn't want to do that, but at the same time we didn't want to be super rigid about, you know, you can only talk about this one thing, you know, the readings that we're doing are huge. They're broad. So you might do the old, I mean, we've talked about this a bunch of times, but the old, you know, looking at what they're looking at in terms of, what do you think about that in terms of the reading that we're doing tonight?
Okay, yeah.
Seems pretty good. Other, does that seem right to other people? Yeah, thumbs up here. Other comments?
Great, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Jen. Let's see. Now, another issue, this is an interesting one. Are we, well, I think we've talked about this some already, are we as facilitators explaining that a part of the format will be that people will be reflected? So in other words, kind of, are we sort of explaining what our role is as facilitators? And I think that's a really good idea. I can't remember what we got to, was it before? But it's part of the orientation to kind of, because we've been having a lot of issues with sort of, that imply that people don't understand that, and they're just, they don't understand kind of what we're doing. So maybe a little bit in the orientation just about kind of what we're going for and how it's, they're being reflected and, you know, they're looking at what they look at and, I don't know, something along those lines. Does that seem like it would be helpful?
Dave, this is Deanna. I find it super helpful. I have been letting people know that I'm reflecting them, and I do a little explanation of it because it's so new for people, you know, that I'm not editorializing, I'm not adding, I'm not changing, I'm just purely reflecting, acting as a mirror for their experience. And I feel a big relief in saying that, you know, that I'm not having to be a personality. I don't have to be clever and funny and, you know, insightful, that they have all the tools they need. So that's been working for me very well.
Yeah, it's like it takes you off the hook, and it also kind of gives them a leg up, you know, and helps them really be successful because you're telling them ahead of time what you're expecting. And so at least have the potential to take away those awkward things where you sort of have to steer people in the middle of an interaction when they really don't know what you're expecting of them.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other comments?
David, just like when you were talking earlier in the call about some kind of an orientation checklist, that could be one of the things that goes on that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. This is the second one. I mentioned there were two issues, and this was the second one I was thinking of that might be good for that. And we might do some, a little write-up for it, like we did with all those other things, to kind of help people understand how to present that.
Hmm.
Yeah, that would be really helpful, I think, to have a little information about how to present it or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anybody willing to take a stab at that? Not, we could probably in solicit Chris. He's on, I think he's traveling right now, but I bet he'd be willing. Anybody want to have a go? Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Maybe even the Chris and Jan team might be willing to take on, since that's kind of what they're working on. Is Jan Latender on the call?
I'm here, Dave.
Oh, okay, good. What do you think, Jan? Do you think you guys might be able to, you know, next week or so, I mean, after Chris gets back, might be able to work something
absolutely
up for
you? Absolutely.
Great.
Would the facilitation communicator be willing to write us a short email to the two of us so he could hear in words from that person what you would...
I bet we could do that, huh, Mickey?
Yep.
Thank you.
But, all right, thanks a lot for that, Jan. And we'll just figure Chris has a
sure.
Win, we know. But he does.
Sounds great.
Okay, from Michael, what I am getting from something you wrote in, Michael, is that you're suggesting there might be we might want to consider in the established sitting groups having some regular review of the guidelines so people know what's going on. Have I got that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what comes up as you say that is when we were in Mountain View, I don't think we had a formal kind of orientation, and sometimes when Sherry was there, the first, you know, 10 or 15 minutes would be going through the privileged environment, and, you know, several old-timers would, you know, mention various aspects of that. But since we now do formal orientations, it basically only gets mentioned formally, you know, once during that orientation. And for a lot of old-timers, you know, there's never been a discussion of that for a long time.
Yeah, that does seem like it would be a good thing to do. So I wonder if folks have ideas about where we should go from here. Should we establish, like, a guideline that we follow? Like, we do it every so often, or once a month, somebody here is suggesting? Do they have ideas about that?
Dave, I haven't heard all of this, so I'm not exactly sure what we're talking about doing more often.
I'm really close to my mouth. We're talking about, we've got all these guidelines that we created, and in the established sitting groups, the idea was it might be good to go through and review those guidelines periodically to keep everybody kind of on the same page.
All right.
Dave, this is Michael.
Uh-huh, Michael.
Two ideas occur to me about how to do that. One is to have a kind of group maybe every 6 months or so that's maybe just on that topic, privilege, environment, and the elements of it.
Uh-huh.
And another idea is kind of once a month to talk about perhaps one aspect of it, like why do we speak only to the facilitator and have no side conversation.
Oh, that's an interesting idea. And then we kind of, it wouldn't be like hitting them over the head with it over and over and over again, but we,
yeah,
like over time we get to explore all the different aspects of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. What do people think about that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it does seem interesting.
Sounds good, yeah.
Okay, so...
So, Michael, were you thinking as the evening topic or as a short discussion in addition to the whatever key section we're on that night?
Yeah, that's a great question. Maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes on the aspect of the privileged environment, and then have the key reading and key discussion.
Yeah.
I can see that. And then as soon as the energy started to die around that, you just kind of launch right into the key.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So does it feel like we need to institutionalize something here to make that happen, or would, you know, like, do we want to coordinate that, or does it feel more like people could just kind of take responsibility for it?
Well, Dave, there's a... If we're having the, actually in the key group, we're doing the discussion of the privileged environment, and then we're doing an orientation, a centering exercise, and then doing the key. So it wouldn't necessarily flow for having a discussion of the orientation directly into discussion of the key.
I wonder, other than that, it would work.
That's all.
Yeah, I wondered about what if we did... had the centering, you know, so that, which is, I think, what we start with, and then say, okay, well, today we're going to, I mean, after a while it would be a routine, so you could say today's our guideline day of the month or whatever, so we're going to talk about and then just, you know, explore that for a few minutes, and then as that winds down, then go into the key discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And I would think what we could do that might make it just super simple as opposed to kind of leaving it up to people to dealing with is that, I mean, we could just add to Ramita's fabulous list into eternity of what our assignments are for the key. We just, once every 4 weeks, we just throw one of the guidelines in there.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy to do. I was thinking, too, you know, what we could do as our first step, you know, maybe 2 or 3 weeks from now, we could schedule one of these and we could give it a try and then see what people thought. And that way we could kind of work with it as we go along until we get a good routine down.
Yeah, this is Cameron. It seems like it would be, you know, how we're going along, and then we're doing the same page of the key. If we were all doing the guidelines the same, then whatever questions would come up in the groups would perhaps be relevant for everybody at the same time.
Yeah, that does seem important, doesn't it, Cameron? For everybody
yeah.
to be kind of having the same experience so we can be talking about it.
Yeah.
Dave, this is Marie. I think this is such a great idea because, you know, in the sitting group, I do talk about the guidelines in the orientation.
Uh-huh.
And it's so different from how it is at the monastery when usually it's always the people in the room that talk about the guidelines.
Yeah.
Which I always find so helpful, you know, because then there, you know, you see all these other people that under, you know, that know about the guidelines, and then they're telling their experience of it, and that just sounds, seems like that would be really great.
Yeah, especially if you got some people who are coming fairly regularly, and you could say to them, you know, what's been your experience so far as a guideline to, you know, to not talk to the facilitator or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, good.
David.
Yeah. David.
I'm really enjoying this, and I'm super happy it got brought up because the members that come to my group are actually friends of mine, and the temptation a lot of times I've noticed is for them, kind of you know, 3 or 4 days after the fact, to kind of, you know, bring up this idea of like, well, you know, why do we such and such guideline, and kind of seeking to kind of draw into a conversation about it. So, just everything that's been mentioned, I think, sounds really supportive in terms of, you know, having, you know, maybe once a month, having maybe even an entire evening, if it works out that way, as you said, kind of do an experiment first to see if it's a short discussion to begin with and then into the key reading, or if it goes longer, perhaps, just as a way of kind of springboarding to keeping kind of within the integrity of the guidelines, so that it doesn't get brought up so much outside of group.
Yeah, that's a good idea. It just occurred to me, too, as you were talking, David, that if it seemed like a good idea, occasionally we could even bump, not do a key thing, and do it on the guidelines, you know, just as a way to be able to focus the entire group on it.
Yeah, that's actually what was exactly, I forget who was mentioning it, but somebody was saying kind of, well, if we do the centering exercise, and then we do the discussion on the guideline, and then we go into the key or whatever. It just, for me, what was coming up with that was it feels like a lot, and it seems like each one of the guidelines often, I would suspect at least, would be able to facilitate a whole evening's discussion. And if we're all doing it together as groups around the country, it seems to fit kind of really nicely in with the way things are moving.
Yeah. Hi, I'm on board.
Dave, can I bring something up from that? That was a really interesting point. The gentleman mentioned that he was doing the group with friends who brought things up later, and I wondered if we could talk about that at some point tonight or at another. I'm having that same thing where friends want to debrief what happened. I'd like to talk about that.
Yeah, we can definitely talk about it. I'll tell you what, just to stay in integrity with my little program here of kind of putting the things first that people emailed in about, how about if I write that down at the bottom, and if we get to it, we'll get to it.
Great.
Just occurred to me that we might include in that at some point talking about sending people to the monastery when they have questions about things like that, that coming here to have an experience could kind of fill out their understanding of stuff.
Okay. So, Mickey, how about if you and I coordinate the first time we try one of these little experiments with the guidelines? Maybe in a couple of weeks or want to?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right. Is Catherine on the call?
Yes.
You are? Okay,
yeah.
Good. Okay, Catherine, it's self-hate time.
Oh, okay. Boy, it sure is.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what's going on, and then we'll put it out to the group for input.
It's a lot of self-hate, which is very familiar. It has to do with being part of a group. And conditioning will get you on the opposite ends of the spectrum. It doesn't really matter. So if nobody's coming to my group, that's my fault. I'm a loser. I get on the phone calls. I'm part of a group on the phone calls, and there's all this self-hate about I don't really have anything to say. I'm not actually facilitating, so I can't, you know, give any input. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
kind of,
I mean, it's just like, don't be part of this. Is the whole. Anyway, that's what's coming up.
Okay, good. Well, I bet you're not the only person on the call who's ever experienced this. How about if we have a little conversation about dealing with self-hate as facilitators? Anybody have anything to say about that?
Dave, this is Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
Yes, I have been having, like that, the last week's call, I was talking about some of that getting really beaten up. And so this week, I tried some things really differently, and it really helped. I did a lot of reassurance before the group, and I even had to drive 4 hours afterwards, and I listened to reassurances like for 4 hours.
Wow. That's
and
great.
And I even reflected myself some, and I even talked to self. I said, I know you're going to get me for when I said such and such, but I'm not going to let you.
Right. That is
and,
so
and yeah.
A bunch of yee-haws here on the
I mean, I was really determined because I was loving it. You know, I was loving most of the time, and I just, you know, I didn't want to get beaten down by self-hate. And I mean, it took a lot of effort, but it so far, and this was on Wednesday, and it hasn't gotten me. So
sounds like you harbored it there for a little while.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
great.
Well, I just spoke that out.
It sure is worth it, isn't it? Because, you know, it is.
Yes.
A big part of facilitation practice is really learning how to tangle with self-hate and come out the winner. Which, you say that.
Yeah. So it was very helpful. So thank you.
I wanted to chime. This is Melinda. I wanted to chime in on it because I really wanted to highlight that it takes a lot of effort, because it takes an enormous amount of effort in my experience to keep pulling back. From the voices that want to tell me what a horrible job I did, and the effort pays off. It is so extraordinarily empowering to, you know, be able to drive those 4 hours or do whatever you do to chalk one up for authentic self and, you know, a big X through self-hate.
This is Alex. I just wanted to share something that I heard somebody mention on Sunday, a group on Sunday morning, about waking in the middle of the night because the voices were torturing her. And she listened to her reassurances. She sat and did recite the daily recollection to herself, and found that that was such a very rewarding experience that she continued to keep doing that. And we refer to it affectionately here at the monastery as pulling out the practice bazooka.
I think she also listened to an imagery. She had like 4 or 5 things she did right in a row. It must have taken her 2 hours. And it's just, she listened to a guided imagery from the LBK class.
Yeah. She said that she didn't miss going to sleep or missing the sleep at all.
One little trick. I think we talked about this on at the facilitator's retreat, but in case people haven't heard it, one little we've played around here sometimes, at least I have, that especially as a new facilitator, you know, kind of like Tony was saying, you just know. I mean, self-hate is just waiting, you know. And so play this little game of, like, maybe go out for a walk or whatever, and then kind of look and say, pick a point, you know, like way down the road. You know, it's going to take you a couple minutes to get there. And just point at it and say, all right, you've got until that tree to say everything you have to say to me. But then it has to be completely done. And so you walk along, and it says whatever it says. It actually gets, in my experience, it gets a little nervous because it's under pressure. It suddenly doesn't have so much to say. But I keep telling it, no, you know, the tree's getting closer. You better, everything you have to say to me. And you can even reflect it. Oh, okay, so what I hear you saying is what, when I said that to that person, that was really stupid. Or, okay, so what I hear you saying is that no one's coming to my group, so that means I'm a hmm. And you just let it run its course. But when you get to that tree, it's done. That's it. It's done.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's kind of like a tangible, practical way of doing what is very, very difficult a lot of times, which is the no reviews that we talk about. You know, the no reviews policy, where you walk out of the room and never think about it again, which is incredibly difficult to accomplish. But to have a little trick like that could really be kind of a
Dave, this is Penny. It also occurs that it might be interesting to try to facilitate that one who always gets up in that way.
Yeah.
I didn't hear part of that. This cafe.
She said that it might be interesting to facilitate the part, you know, I'm imagining, Penny, you're talking about like the equivalent of the two chairs exercise where you facilitate yourself. Facilitate that part of the part of yourself who's believing the self-hate.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Dave, this is Jan. Yeah. I've also found just lately that, in addition to what folks have been mentioning, that just pulling the mentor in when it's that young one that's getting blasted, that it's just like an understanding, that a commitment that I've made to the mentor's going to be there to protect and to fend off and just say, no, 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 we've heard it. That's it. Sort of like in follow-up to the tree comes and it still tries to say it, all its stuff. And that's just been very powerful for me, just the mentor being the one who's on guard.
I think part of what you're saying is kind of having the understanding, even going into it, that that's the deal. No matter
yeah.
what happens, I'm going to be there for you as the mentor.
Yeah, yeah. So, it's the full package.
I actually say a little thing before every group I facilitate. I do a little recitation to myself, and that's essentially what it says, is no matter what happens, I'm going to be there.
Mm.
Anybody else have any tips on self-hate?
Yeah, this is Marie. I was just thinking back to when I first started doing the group, and, this was a few years ago, and, I remember self-hate it really tried to kill me. I mean, just for sitting in the front of the room, I remember it was like, who do you think you are, Dave or something? It was really so mean.
It's kind of like a crime against humanity, for you to have the audacity to do something like that.
Yeah, it's like, who do you think you are, some kind of monk or something? I mean, it was just awful. Like, I almost had to crawl out of there. And, I guess the important thing I saw about it is it's just trying to stop me, and eventually it stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Had to keep doing it and experience that quite a few weeks before it kind of stopped, story.
It forces you to do that, doesn't it, to do a facilitation practice?
Yeah.
To go up and
yeah.
self-patient that way and really let it go.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to accelerate and try to stop me with everything it can.
Yeah, for sure. To me, that's been probably the most powerful thing about having a facilitation practice. I can remember doing, the beginning as a There's Nothing Wrong With You facilitator, and, it's three groups a day, and between the groups and overnight especially, just getting creamed, the whole time. And then, I'd be okay in group and then come out and get creamed again. And I had the same experience as you, Marie. It's like because you've made the commitment to do that, the facilitation practice, you have no way out but to let go of self-hatred. And just over time, as you work with it, that really happens and it becomes less and less.
Yeah, yeah. But it seems like to me it's always really strong when I take a new step of some kind in facilitation, that then it really tries to really heat it up, because that would be a really good place to get me to stop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rules.
Not do it anymore.
Bigger place than you should be.
Yeah. I'd like to get back in that box.
Dave, this is Jan. One of the things that comes up for me, and then even more in listening to your exchange with Marie, is, to me, in part, agreeing to facilitate is kind of stepping into another layer of practice. And so when self-hate heats up and I get to see it, it's kind of, to me, in some ways, what I'm bargaining for. I'm bargaining for deepening my practice. And, on some level, deepening practice means going up against the next layer of self-hate and having this group so consistently to come to and be supported by, to me, is like the greatest. It's a great package. So just the idea that on some level the willingness, finding the willingness in myself that this is what I signed up for.
Yeah, and with the willingness, the understanding that that is what you're signing up for. So it's not like it's
yeah.
a surprise or anything. You know that that's kind of part of the bargain. And it's almost, in what you're saying, it's almost like you want that. Kind of, because that
yeah.
that is what's going to step you up to the next level of practice.
Yep. And not in a, you know, not in a self-flagellating kind of way at all, but just in a, you know, what is it we say, going farther, faring worse or something like that, but kind of with my sangha going after it.
Yeah, you're kind of doing it for everyone. You're doing it for yourself, but also doing it for everyone, recognizing that the commitment that you have, that it is going to bring up self-hate. That's just part of the deal, and you're willing for that because that's what's going to take you where you want to go.
Yeah.
There's this really beautiful image that I think I've heard one time that when we open up, we're opening up to everything, possibility as well as, you know, self-hate can creep in through that door as well. And it's part of the part, it is really, resonates so much with what you're saying, Jan, is that it's the vulnerability that we open up to, but it's also the chance for us to discover that we're invincible at the same time. And so it's an interesting paradox, but it's part of, it really is part of the package.
Yeah, that's nicely put.
Yeah. Oh, what just occurred to me too is the reading from Tuesday, or from the key, from just of nothing real is stopping you. The only thing stopping you is thought, the belief that something is stopping you. And that the inside, not the outside, because I just really got it how, at least in my experience, what self-hate does is it wants to keep me separate. So it wants me to say, oh, I can't do this, and no, it's not the right time, and all these things, and you know, I'm kind of really getting it. That's very subtle, and it's very convincing, and yet it's whatever it wants to do is to keep me separate from having the experience.
That's its main mission.
Right. So kind of seeing that that's just that storyline that's inside, that really there isn't anything to it.
Yep. Yeah, it's not actually real, and which really gives us the power to work with it and overcome it.
Right.
What I've been looking at, this is Lynette, what I've been looking at was I was having this experience of noticing the silence from the other side. So I had always felt fairly comfortable in the silence, but suddenly I was looking at a group and they were all being silent. And self-hate came in, but what I realized was that I had set up the privileged environment. So they were actually doing everything that we had talked about. But that silence for me was just the opportunity for, it was like, you know, why are they not interacting?
So the reality was they're going with a program, they did everything you say, there's no kind of mutinies happening, anything like that.
Yeah.
But the way self-hate looked at it is because they're quiet, there must be something wrong and you must be at fault for it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so obvious that, I mean, it was just pretty obvious that that was self-hate, but it got me for a while.
Dave, the conditioning takes different tracks, telling me that I'm separate because I'm better than. I'm providing something that no one else is providing. And, you know, that it's up to me to do something and the responsibility. And calling in the mentor in the middle of that, like others have said, of just saying, I'm here practicing. I'm making an opportunity for others to practice. And that sort of brought it back to a neutral place. By the end of the group, the amount of energy in my body was just, and again, the praising end of conditioning, saying you're doing a good job and all that. It was more of conditioning trying to hook me into you're doing a good job, so it could really punch me around on the other side and pick out the problems or the mistakes. And what I got to watch was what conditioning wanted to do then with that energy afterwards, wanting to tamp it down, wanting to get me to eat, get me to distract myself.
Yeah, in some way to pull you back into a place where self-hate can have its way with you again.
Right.
Yeah, it's a really good point that it plays both sides. I sure have noticed that for myself. That, for me, that's a big part of the no reviews thing. You know, so you walk out of group and, you know, it's awful tempting to go, boy, that sure was good. I sure did a good job. But, you know, it's just self-hate in another form. Okay, well, how about, let's see what time it is. We got 6 minutes. How about if we take a six-minute crack at people schmoozing after groups or later on in the week, the thing that Deanna and David were talking about.
Dave, this is Catherine. I just wanted to say thank you. That was very helpful. That's
oh, good.
Thank you very much.
All right, I forgot to bring it back to you, Catherine. That's good. Thanks for bringing it up.
And thanks to everyone for sharing.
Dave, this is Ramita. I've got two nuts and bolts, very simple questions. So whether you want me to do that now or the end.
Okay, sure. Let's go ahead and do it.
Number one, we talked about getting a couple more opening centering exercises, scripts to send out.
Yeah, they are on the way. I bet Mickey, they're probably about ready to go out, aren't they?
Soon.
Okay.
Not as ready as I thought, obviously. Okay, good. Yeah, but I know we've been working on it, so they'll be on the way soon, I'm sure.
Okay. And then I have never done anything with Skype, so I have 4 people signed up to come and do the Skype workshop here, and I have my computer tech worked, but I don't know how to work the program, so I guess I'll get some support and guidance from the facilitator about how to proceed with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. I bet we can help you if you send in an email.
I'll send an email. Thank you.
Okay. So does someone want to, Deanna or David or someone else, want to clarify the issue exactly? What shall we look at around people schmoozing or kibitzing after a group?
Okay, this is Deanna. I noticed that some of my friends want to debrief and I feel resistant. I feel like it's a privileged environment. I don't want to debrief, you know. And so I find myself not articulating really clearly the lack of desire to talk about how it went. Yeah, I mean, people will just make comment like, oh, I had a great meditation, or that felt really good, or, you know, something like that later on in the week. And so I'm wrestling a little bit with that. You know, these are good friends that I would normally process all kinds of things with, but I somehow feel like this, I have resistance to processing it and just leaving it as it is and taking anything that I want to process to this phone call.
And it sounds like particularly tricky because they're friends of yours and you already kind of have a processing sort of relationship.
Right. Yes. You know, or, you know, I can, you know, some, you know, sometimes these people will, you know, mention things, but they feel like it's too formal, or they don't, you know, they don't want to bow or things like that. Yeah.
You know, as Deanna was talking, it occurred to me that, you know, with something like, oh, I had a great meditation, I could see some kind of simple thing like, oh, I'm so glad, or, you know, just some simple comment, and that, in a way, by you making that simple comment, there's sort of a communication of, you know, you're not saying, oh, well, tell me about that, or, which, so there's that, which doesn't mean that they won't expound on it, and it seems like if they do, like, oh, well, blah, 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 I wonder about, you know, people saying something like Deanna was saying, around just kind of saying it like it is, and saying, you know, I'm doing this facilitation thing, and I'm kind of experimenting with holding the privileged environment around that, and just seeing what that's like, so that you could present it as not a, you know, hard, you know, right wrong kind of a thing, but more, you know, I'm trying this out, so if it would be okay with you, I'd rather keep all that kind of discussion within the context of the group that we're doing.
Yeah, that seems good. And it occurs to me that could even be a conversation that's had before the trouble. The announcements or the orientation as people are coming.
Is part of the confidentiality, because we have that line in the guidelines, you know, that we keep it confidential. And And maybe we even keep it confidential from ourselves and from each other.
Yeah. You know, what's coming up for me is maybe a, you know, thank you, and I know how it's really tempting for me to want to go into processing and just basically what you just said, just to put it out there to them and just say that this is something that you're trying to do. And I always like loved the point about communicating as much as possible. And clearly as possible, even, you know, beforehand too, you know, like as well, like the orientation idea to have all that kind of information, like, you know, as you're leaving to maybe that's something we do at the end, as you're leaving, just a reminder about the privileged environment, and that way it's all included in the program so that they don't find themselves in a spot where they're doing the wrong thing or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's really kind, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I was just seeing that because so many of the folks doing key groups do have friends there, people that they know, that making that part of the orientation in terms of, you know, I know that outside of this context, we all talk and have friendships, and what I'd really like to do is maintain the privileged environment, even you know, sort of so not to be talking about this in our friendships, but to keep everything here in the room. I'm saying it rather awkwardly, but I think that specifically because the key groups are structured around friends, you know, people having friends and acquaintances in, that it would be totally appropriate to have something like that said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deanna, what do you think? Is that
yeah, that feels really good. That feels really good, and I think I would add that to the guidelines so that you know, I preclude the possibility, perhaps, you know, or at least I have a touch point to later return to, you know.
Yeah, Mickey, maybe that's another one that could go on our little new list that we're creating tonight.
Yep.
Okay, so, and Deanna, feel free to bring it up again, or anybody else, you know, as we go along, if it continues to be something to look at.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
So we're out of time. Mickey, do you want to check in about the roll again real quick? I think we've had some people join us.
Yeah, and I got some of them, but I'm not totally sure about some. Caroline, Chris B., Chris L., Claire, Danny, Lisa. I might have heard. I don't know if I heard Lisa or not. Bill, Rebecca.
Phil's here.
Okay.
Mickey, Phil's here.
Yeah. Hey, Phil. Therese.
I'm here.
And Tracy. Okay.
Okay, good. So our next call, I think, is next Friday again, same time. And we know what our reading is because Mickey emailed it all to us. So I think we're good to go. Is that right? Sounds like it. Okay, thanks for being here tonight, everybody. I enjoyed it, as always, and we'll look forward to the next call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dave.